Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being here as always, as we continue to celebrate our ninth year anniversary. And I appreciate you guys being here very much. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you have been listening already, as you know, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And I'm excited about getting our good friend Steve Forbes back on the show. Steve is you know, if you don't know it by now, folks, you should know it, that Steve Forbes is probably the greatest supporter of what you do as a small business owner out there. I know how he feels about you, and if you've been hearing him as a guest on our show over the last several years, you know he feels that way. As you know, Steve Forbes is the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine. He's the president of Forbes. He's the author of one of my favorite books, The Flat Tax Revolution, Using a Postcard to Abolish the IRS. Former presidential candidate, and as you've heard me say before, I'd like to live in a United States where there was a president, Steve Forbes. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you again, Jim, and congratulations on going into your 10th year, 9 years of great success.
I appreciate it, Steve, and you're one of the folks who's contributed to that and on a number of levels, and just knowing that how you feel about small business owners inspires me, Steve, and I know you joined me in celebrating all the great contributions that small business owners make out there.
Well, small business owners are the backbone of the economy. Without them, we flounder.
Well, absolutely. Steve, we just had an election, and I certainly want your thoughts on that. I want to open up by saying that the Dems won the election, the 2006 midterm elections, not by demonstrating any kind of a vision for the future. All they said was, we're not them. What does that say about the Republicans?
It says that the Republicans, when they abandoned their principles, set up what happened on a week ago Tuesday. So you're right. It was a Forrest Gump election. The Democrats were there when the shrimp started to come in. They had nothing to do with it. And they just said, as you pointed out, Jim, we're not Republicans, we're not George Bush, and they won. It was the Republicans lost it. The Democrats didn't win it.
I keep hearing, clearly, Steve, the Iraqi war was the determining issue. This was an election about George Bush and about the Iraqi war, and apparently the polls show that most Americans, two-thirds of Americans, don't like the Iraqi war. They want us out of there, I guess. That's what I keep hearing. But Nancy Pelosi and some of the others keep saying, we're going to set America on a new course in a new direction. Okay, let's take Iraq off the table for just a minute. Let's all agree that that's not a good situation. I'm going to give them that. But the rest of the scenario, the rest of our landscape here in America, Steve, I don't see anything. I don't see that much wrong with this picture. Do you?
No, the American nation as a whole is doing remarkably well. Obviously, there are certain industries that are going through wrenching changes. We see it in our industry, particularly with newspapers.
Right.
We have a situation where we're facing more and more competition, which I think underscores the need for tax reform, legal reform, so we can remain competitive. But we are creating jobs. Despite the turbulence, we've created, as you know, more jobs than Japan and Western Europe put together.
Right.
We're investing, we're innovating, and while we have a lot of problems on the regulatory front and the facing competition, we're not doing badly. And what people don't fully realize for all the problems we have, Jim, is that in the last 4 years, the American economy as a whole has expanded more. Just the expansion alone exceeds the entire size of the Chinese economy.
Say
China
that again.
Is booming. China's booming, but it's off of a low base. America is doing a remarkable job under very difficult circumstances.
Well, and you know, Steve, I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, that's a stat that I had not heard anybody say. I hadn't heard it put that way before. I knew that even though China has a tremendous annual growth rate in their GDP, their total economy is not that big. And I appreciate the way you said that. You know, one of the things that's and I think is great about what's going on right now is I don't think there's ever been a better time to be a small business owner. What do you think?
Say again?
I don't think there's ever been a better time to be a small business owner because, for one thing, we have access to capital more today than ever before.
We have access to capital, and for all of the problems with our legal system, we do have the rule of law, which China does not. And I think if we just make some of these reforms, Jim, on taxation and our legal system, we're ready to roar. And, again, we're like an athlete. We're doing very well, but we've got 50-pound packs on our back. And if we get those weights off of us, we can really run fast and far.
Well, and one of the things I like to remind folks, Forbes is still a family business, isn't it, Steve?
It is indeed. I have four siblings, and we're the third generation. We're already talking about what we call G4, the fourth generation.
A great Americans.
We have three members of the family in the business today.
Stand by, Steve. Quick break, 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Everybody's looking.
Back 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Steve Forbes is our guest. He's our good friend. And Steve, give us your website too, please.
It's Forbes.com, www.forbes.com, and anyone can get on it. It's a fantastic website, Jim. We have 10 million unique visits a month.
Congratulations.
About hundreds of news stories each day. So it's a fast-changing, vibrant, and multifaceted website. You can find a lot of things on a lot of subjects.
Well, what I'm proud of you guys for, Steve, is you found a way to take a 20th century business, a classic 19th century industry, the financial publishing industry, and you've actually been able to successfully arrive in the 21st century and pull it off. And everyone in your industry can't say that today.
Well, it's amazing. People they forget what business they're in. We know we're in the information business. You're in the information business.
Yep.
And various platforms are there to convey that information and gather it and convey it. But too many people try to bend one platform, one media, bend it into a subsidiary or a service of another media. They're equal. They each have their place. And if you work with both and bring together both, you can get the best of both worlds.
One of the things I tell small business owners when I speak to them, Steve, and on my show is absolutely fall in love with what you do. That's okay. That's actually a good thing, to fall in love with what you do. Just don't fall in love with how you do it.
That's a very good point, and we see examples of it all the time. And organizations sometimes lose sight of that. They get process mixed up with what the product is supposed to be.
Right. Well said. Steve, let's go back to the political front. You were talking about taxes and regulations and things like that. What do you think are the next 2 years, what are they going to hold for us on taxes?
Well, the Democrats, sadly, are going to try to raise taxes. I think they'll put in what they call a middle-class tax cut, which will be small and won't do very much for the economy, but I'll take it. But at the same time, they're going to try to raise capital gains taxes, raise dividend taxes, raise taxes on people, especially two-income families that reach a certain level. They'll try to raise taxes on companies. They'll put excess profits taxes on oil companies. Here we want oil companies to produce more oil and find it in safer places, but we're going to put extra taxes on them. They're going to go after the pharmaceutical industry, which I hope will not hurt future research, but it could.
Right. Yeah.
So, and the death tax, there's no way they're going to repeal the death tax. So we're just going to have to hold on for 2 years, try to limit the damage, and try to get back to basic principles in 2008.
What's it going to take to do that? Do we have the players on the bench do the Republicans have the players on the bench to do that, Steve?
I think in the House side, there's some very good House members, John Shattuck, Mike Pence. They're both running for leadership positions today, so we'll know later today how that comes out. If one of them wins, that's a very good sign. They realize they're brethren in the House of Representatives strayed off course with all these earmarks and spending. You know, somebody said the other day, Washington spends like drunken sailors.
Right.
That's insult to drunken sailors, because drunken sailors spend their own money.
I like the way you say that. You know, another tax that's not really called a tax, but is for small business owners, it's the same thing as a tax, is tantamount to a tax, is something that, the Democrats have been very, very vocal and very honest about saying that they were going to do, and that's raising minimum wage. And for small business owners, Steve, it's the same thing as a tax, because it creates not 1 ounce of new productivity.
Well, that's right. And the other thing that ignores a national wage is that there are in various parts of the country, you get different cost structures, different costs of living, and therefore what might seem small in, say, New Jersey or New York or California may be looking pretty good in other parts of the country.
Right.
The one-size-fits-all is not the America economy today.
Well, and it's the same thing as price fixing. It's government price regulations, and we know that doesn't work.
Right, and when people ask what the minimum wage should be, I say, well, we shouldn't have it by law. The real minimum wage setter is McDonald's. What McDonald's pays their kids, that's usually the minimum wage, the market minimum wage.
Well, exactly. And the thing that I actually, and a lot of people probably think this is strange, Steve, but I actually would rather see them raise income tax than I would see them raise minimum wage, because there's no abatement for minimum wage, there are no deductions for minimum wage, and as a small business owner, I know that taxes can go up and taxes can come down. If they raise minimum wage, it will never come down.
Well, that's right, and that's why, again, the way you get salaries to go up, the way you get compensation and people's take-home pay to go up, one is cutting taxes, and the other is getting a more vibrant, faster-growing economy. And then that's the way you get real increases in the standard of living and the quality of life.
Steve, the last several years has proven that supply-side economics works. Dynamic scoring is a reality, and it works. What part of that do the Democrats not get?
What they don't get is that experience sometimes should trump ideology. And the Democratic ideology is spending. Unfortunately, some Republicans took up that part of it, raising taxes, putting on more regulations, getting guidance from above. In a way, it's sort of like a medieval Europe where the nobles told you what to do when you could do it. And we're a freedom-loving country. And the Democrats, if they want money, they should let the economy grow. They'll get money, but stay out of our way, and we'll create the wealth of the nation.
Fourthly, I will be back. I'm going to ask about the U.S. and stay with us, Tint.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Welcome
back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, wrapping up our 9th anniversary week. I appreciate you allowing me to celebrate that this week and to be excited about it. It's a milestone for us, and so many people have gone into helping us make this a success. And one of the folks is our good friend Steve Forbes, who's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, a national leader, an international leader that you all know what a great contribution Steve makes. And Steve, on behalf of small business owners, on behalf of Americans, for your voice, for the energy that you put into to keeping the honest debate going out there, and for being such a great supporter of the marketplace, we thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Jim, for what you do and being out there advocating what makes possible the success of small businesses, or at least removing the obstacles that stand in the way of success.
One of the things, Steve, I want to talk about in the rest of our visit, Steve, is the UN and some of the things that are going on there. John Bolton is in danger, the ambassador to the UN. He's in danger right now, isn't he? Is he going to be confirmed?
Sadly, I think the Democrats, in the wake of their victory last week, are going to kill that nomination, which is too bad. He was a very effective ambassador in a very bad organization. He understands what the flaws of that place are. He's willing to speak out and to be a very forceful advocate for the United States and for freedom. And he does it in a body that badly needs to hear those words. And I'm sorry we're going to lose that forceful voice.
I am too, and I think we need somebody like John Bolton in the UN right now. I think the UN is worse than it's ever been at this moment. What do you think?
Yes, and it's been riddled with corruption, the food for oil scandal with Iraq, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars wasted and stolen. And wherever you look around, what is the UN doing right? You would be hard put to find a very long list of that.
Right. One of the things that's going on right now in the UN is the global warming forum in Nairobi. This, I think, is adjourning today. And what do you think about all that?
Well, I'll be blunt about it. I think a lot of it is hot air. I think weather patterns, Jim, have been changing for millions and billions of years. And we can do a lot to clean the air, to clean the water, to remove chemical waste from the soil. Those are practical things that we can do and get done. But this idea that we're going to change weather patterns when the Earth tilts a little bit, you know, the weather patterns change, you get changes in the course of the oceans, that changes weather patterns. It's a complicated subject, and I think it's hubris for people to think that we can fundamentally change the weather. The forest burning that's going on in a place like Borneo and the other side of the world
right.
is throwing up more smoke, more soot into the atmosphere than China and the United States put together.
Well, and China is doing a lot more of that because they've got so many two-cycle engines over there.
And that's right. And they were exempt from the Kyoto Protocol. So that shows how silly that thing exercise is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, that's the problem I've got. I'm going to say, okay, just for argument's sake, let's say that human beings are impacting the weather. So that's something we need to do, but we don't need to do it in favor of one group, one group of countries, and not in favor of another group. That's what Kyoto was doing. Kyoto was basically all it was doing was making the U.S. less competitive in the marketplace, in the global marketplace.
Well, that's right. When you exempt two of the fastest-growing countries in the world, India and China, you know that this is a political document, not a real call for action.
Right. Absolutely. Steve, I'm more worried about international, the world in the 21st century on an international basis with Iran and North Korea having nuclear weapons or about to have nuclear weapons, the inability of the international leaders to do anything about them, and people basically wanting to appease people like the Iranians. I'm really very worried about our world. What about you?
Well, the big issue, Jim, you put your finger on it, is Iran. They not only want nuclear weapons, but they intend to use them, and that's the scary part. We just cannot fathom that these guys mean what they say.
What is the part that the UN and other countries don't get about that?
I think they're just stuck in their own world, and they don't want to face up to it. And they like to believe that the U.S. is the source of all problems, makes good rhetoric, the big guy. Shake your fist at the big guy. I guess mm-hmm. always good for applause lines overseas. But it's irresponsible, and it's going to have consequences.
Steve, we got to wrap it up, unfortunately. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for helping us celebrate our anniversary week.
Jim, thank you for 9 years of your ninth anniversary and going on to your 10th year. Fantastic. Keep up the great work.
Steve, I'm a great American. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, thanking you for 9 great years. But remember, it's really for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.